September.
Thank you for that wonderful reading and the music to go with that. That set the tone perfectly. This morning, my talk this morning will be a little different. I'm going to try to make it fast-paced here to catch up. But you know that last night we started a series with Sean Boonstra, and those that were able to see it were really blessed. And I'm carrying on with that theme this morning for this weekend, because there is a real interest in the world today on the issue of God's creative power, or where man's origins from. If you can't read that in the back, I'm going to be speaking some areas rather deeply this morning, and so I'm going to add a little light to it here. If you can't read that, it says, "No evolution evident in experimental subject 1A. Who's ready to be 1B? The other scripture reading that's in your bulletin is the same verse as but found in 1 John 3:3-6, and I have emphasized a section there for us. "And all who believe this will keep themselves pure, just as Christ is pure. Those who sin are opposed to the law of God, for all sin opposes the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, for there is no sin in him. So if we continue to live in him, we won't sin either. But those who keep on sinning have never known him or understood who he is." In 2 Peter 3, which Dave read so nicely for us this morning, again, David, thank you very, very much. Appreciate that. First, I want to remind you that in the last days, this is a prophecy. Actually, Pastor Boonstra used this text last night, because this is referring to the last days, the days in which you and I live today. "There will be scoffers who will laugh at the truth and do everything, every evil thing they desire. This will be their argument. Jesus promised to come back, did he? Then where is he? Why, as far back as anyone can remember, everything has remained exactly the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the words of his command, and he brought the earth up from the water. Then he used the water to destroy the world with a mighty flood." Sister White in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 45, had this to say on our topic that we're talking on this morning. "There is no ground for the supposition that man was evolved by slow degrees of development from the lower forms of animal or vegetable life. Such teaching lowers the great work of the Creator to the level of man's narrow earthly conception. Men are so intent upon excluding God." I want to repeat that. "Men are so intent upon excluding God from the sovereignty of the universe that they degrade man and defraud him of the dignity of his origin." Really, the question we're looking at today is the sin problem. Ever since the fall of man, man has tried to excuse his sinful behavior in usually one or two ways. First, by trying to get rid of God's law, which defines sin, or by trying to get rid of God. So, evolution is man's attempt to get rid of God. What has that impact been on us today as Christians? I'm greatly indebted to Dr. Heinz Lyklama for a lot of the information that I'm sharing with you this morning. First, some quotes by Morris. A person's philosophy of origins will inevitably determine what he believes concerning his destiny and even what he believes about the meaning and purpose of his life and actions right now. Ernst Mayr, evolution has an impact on every aspect of man's thinking, his philosophy, his metaphysics, his ethics. And then Jeremy Rifkin, evolutionary theory has been enshrined as the centerpiece of our educational system, and elaborate walls have been erected around it to protect it from unnecessary abuse. Will Durant admitted, by offering evolution in place of God as a case of history, Darwin removed the theological basis of the moral code of Christendom. And the moral code that has no fear of God is very shaky. That's the condition we're in. I don't think man is capable of yet of managing social order and individual decency without fear of some supernatural being overlooking him and able to punish him. What about the atheist? Here's what they have to say. This is from Richard Bozarth, and quoted there from the American Atheist. Christianity has fought, still fights, and will fight science to the desperate end over evolution, because evolution destroys utterly and finally the very reasons Jesus' earthly life was supposedly necessary. If Jesus was not the Redeemer who died for our sins, and this is what evolution means, then Christianity is nothing. What all this means is that Christianity cannot lose the Genesis account of creation like it could lose the doctrine of geocentrism and get along. The battle must be waged for Christianity. It is fighting for its very life. These are the words of an atheist, and he has penned very carefully the central issue for us Christians today. Sir Julian Huxley, who's the grandson of Thomas Huxley, a very devout Darwinian, Darwin pointed out that no supernatural designer was needed, since natural selection could account for any known form of life. There was no room for a supernatural agency in its evolution. We can dismiss entirely all ideas of supernatural overriding mind being responsible for the evolutionary process. And of course, today's voice of Richard Dawkins, a very, very outspoken evolutionist. It's absolutely safe to say that if you meet someone who claims not to believe in evolution, that person is ignorant, stupid, or insane, or wicked, but I'd rather not consider that. That's their attitude towards us. How has evolution impacted us today? And the key influencers are there mentioned: Darwin, Spencer, Freud, Marx, Hitler, Lenin, Dewey, Sartre. The impact on our society is invasive, it's pervasive, it's in our sciences, it's in our education, it's in our politics, it's in our religion, and it's in our culture. Secular humanism is a direct result of the philosophy of evolution, and we're going to look at that a little more. We're going to look at some more specifics of how this has impacted us today. I don't know if you can read that. The first one there says the Bible is 100% truth from start to finish. The second, the Bible has some myths, but mostly true. Later, the Bible has lots of myths and some truths. And then later, hogwash. This kind of evolution does happen. And a quote from Henry Morris in Genesis Flood, 1963. Evolution is the foundation of communism, fascism, Freudism, social Darwinism, behaviorism, Keynesianism. Of course, Keynesianism is a reference to the era where we went through in the late 60s, 70s of the sex revolution, where sex is only a biological thing. There's nothing moral or immoral, whether it's heterosexual, homosexual, it doesn't matter. That's the roots of Kinseyism. Materialism, atheism, and in the religious world, modernism and neo-orthodoxy. These are some of the great influencers of evolution: Bertrand Russell, Voltaire, Stephen Jay Gould, an evolutionist. He even admitted that you couldn't see the process of evolution going on today, but you had to base it on faith. And then the philosopher Janusz Kossler noted, "The public continues to believe that Darwin provided all the relevant answers by the magic formula of random mutations plus natural selection, quite unaware of the fact that random mutations turned out to be irrelevant and natural selection a tautology." Probably one of the greatest influencers of evolutionary thought on today's modern society was the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche. Many of you have heard him or learned about him in school. He despised Christianity. He was quoted as saying, "I call Christianity the greatest curse, the one enormous and innermost perversion, the one great instinct of revenge for which no means are too venomous, too underhand, too underground, and too petty." He was very, very articulate and outspoken about atheism. He set the stage for the mass murders of the 20th century. Hitler was greatly influenced by the work of Nietzsche. Also, Hitler gave Stalin a copy of his work. And it also greatly influenced the work of Sigmund Freud and Bernard Shaw. And it was the emphasis for the God is Dead movement for which he is credited as starting. Nietzsche, believe it or not, was born the son of a Lutheran pastor, and both of his grandparents were pastors in the Lutheran church. He predicted that God is dead would result in two things in the 20th century, that the 20th century would be the bloodiest century in history, and universal madness would break out. Of course, his prediction came true. The tens of millions were killed under Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, in the 20th century, and Nietzsche himself went insane for 11 years. Nazism. I don't have to go over all of this. We go skip this very quickly. But Hitler believed in struggle as a Darwinian principle, struggled for the people to dominate others. This justified the extermination of the Jews, used evolution to rationalize the hatred to the Jews. Quoting from his book, Mein Kampf, "If nature does not wish that weaker individuals should mate with stronger, she wishes even less that a superior race, like the Germanic race, should intermingle with inferior, like the Jewish race. Why? Because in such a case, her efforts throughout hundreds and thousands of years to establish an evolutionary higher stage of being may thus be rendered futile." And so he considered the German race superior. Intermarriage of Germans with Jews would jeopardize that higher state, and is directly responsible for the huge massacre that happened through World War II. Communism and evolution. Marx believed strongly in the Darwinian theory of natural science, and he based his philosophy and his political system on evolution. It was based on atheism. Urged complete destruction of religion and Christianity. Men were mere animals and were expandable. Mao Zedong, who led the revolution in China, same thing, based it on Darwin's theory. And he called it the foundation of Chinese scientific socialism. It's estimated that 30 million people died during the Cultural Revolution that was held in China. And during Cambodia, which was an export of communist China, 2 million were killed. If you can't read that, it says, "But I was really counting on evolution." Two little amoeba bugs. Secular humanism, I'll just go through this very quickly. Is any of you that recognizes the value and dignity of an individual and seeks to better the human condition? A very noble cause. But it's all done without God. It limits the value of man. Ethics and moral become situational. Denies the existence of God. The ultimate humanist objective is a socialist world government with humanist elite in control. UNESCO is very humanistic, now into the educational system. John Dewey reformed the American school system, was a very strong humanist, but also an evolutionist. Was responsible for the banning of the Bible and prayer from the schools, signed the Humanist Manifesto in 1933, and introduced Darwin's theory into the American school system. And we'll go on past this. Another kind of benchmark was in 1926 was the Scopes monkey trial. I wasn't around when that happened. Some of you may have been. But as a result of that, at the time, not many people thought much of it, but the consequences has been tremendous, where the influence of evolution in the school systems is now given free hand because of that. Read that. Oh, I know. Humans didn't invent us at all. We evolved from plastic wires and little micro thingers. The influence of evolution goes far beyond what was explained in Darwin's book, The Origin of Species. It has gone way beyond that. And today it's left to professionals, the geologists, the scientists, to explain what that means. Gospel did not seem to depend on any cosmological model. One's view of evolution does matter, as evidenced by what's happened in the last 150 years. Evolution now is more than a biological or a geological hypothesis. I can't overemphasize that fact. Now it has become a, quote, fact in society. It happened. And a person's philosophy of origins will inevitably determine his belief concerning his destiny, his belief concerning the meaning and purpose of his life, and his actions in the present world. Evolution is imposed on every area of our lives. In the church, we have theistic evolution very rampant in many Christian churches today. In our culture, our morals today, socially and mentally. Professor Mayer of the Harvard Biology, today, of course, there is no such thing as the theory of evolution. It is the fact of evolution. The only argument now are over technical problems, but the basic fact of evolution is so clearly established that no scientist worries about it anymore. It's pervasive in society. It's in, as I said, our sciences. It's our physical sciences, our earth sciences. Many of you may have read the National Geographic February 2006 issue. The cover was on love. If you read the article, it came down to that love is just a chemical. It's just a chemical process in our body, and totally excluded what God is. God is love. Now love is just explained as a chemical. Scientists say the brain chemistry of infatuation is akin to mental illness. I think we can understand that, which gives new meaning to madly in love. Evolution in the social sciences. Sigmund Freud, very much influenced by Darwin's theory, and banished God from his life. Evolution is taught as fact in all public schools. And as we already mentioned, the school system. Historians such as Toynbee were dedicated evolutionists, philosophers Marx and Nietzsche and Dewey. Ethics and religion. Rejection of the Bible and other religious authority removes all divine constraints towards honesty, purity, and charity. That's where it's at. Evolution becomes the basis for the new scientific ethics. Almost all, quote, religions have accommodated in evolution in one form and another. You might remember the proclamation by our Catholic friends, the Catholic Church, the Pope put out its proclamation in support of evolution. Sir Arthur Keith wrote, "The conclusion that I have come to is this. The law of Christ is incompatible with the law of evolution. As far as the law of evolution has worked heretofore, nay, the two laws are at war with each other. The law of Christ can never prevail until the law of evolution is destroyed." Here's some of the results of evolution today that we see in our society. The recapitulation theory. And you might remember the drawings that Haeckel had in your biology books, where all the embryos look the same, and it just man's embryo is a little further down the line. And the Freudian psychoanalysis presumes animal ancestry of man. Of course, all of us are aware of what we call social Darwinism, survival of the fittest applied to economic and social structures. Racism, Nazism, the master race. And if you were to look at Darwin's book, The Origin of Species, the subtitle was The Preservation of Favored Races and the Struggle for Life. He applied that to human races too. Cheapening of human life. As a result, we have abortion abounds today, and in some places even euthanasia. The unwarranted elevation of animal life. Animals should have human rights. After all, we're animals too, according to an evolutionist, where the biblical picture is God placed man as to be caretakers of the earth. Overzealous ecology movement. We see a lot of that here in the Northwest. The relativistic thinking. Movements away from law based on biblical concepts to popular will. Change is the norm. Racism is very much rooted in the roots of evolution. Mentally defective was a throwback to earlier stages in evolution. That's what was thought for those people that were mentally handicapped. Quoting from Henry Osborne in Natural History of April of 1980, the Negroid stock is even more ancient than Caucasian and Mongolian. Of course, the implication saying that the Caucasian is more further advanced in the evolutionary development. But from those same evolutionary thoughts justified the treatment of slaves in this country, the Aborigines in Australia. I already mentioned Darwin's book, his subtitle. Business ethics and evolution. Evolution is applied to the business world. Employs survival of the fittest, elimination of the weak. John Dobson said, "There may be no sound ethical anchorage in the ocean of moral relativism, but these is a way of navigating it." Ethics consulting is now a $100 million business every year. Ethics programs are merely designed to avoid lawsuits. Virtue is not a maximum or a minimum, but a balance between extremes. What are some of the conclusions here? The dominance of evolutionary thinking can only be the result of satanic influence. That is it in a nutshell. From the very beginning, when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, from that point in time, of course, Satan was trying to attack the very things that point us towards God. That's his creative power and his love for us. And so, the creation-evolution battle is ultimately between good and evil, God and Satan, disguised as a question of science. Of course, Revelation 12:9 talks about Satan trying to deceive or to lead us away. In 2 Peter 1:16, as the cunningly devised fables that Satan has put out there for us. Creation clearly shows there must be a creator, and men are without excuse. Teaching of biblical creationism provides a strong foundation for the leading of people to Christ. Romans 1, 19 and 20. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put the knowledge in their hearts. From the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky and all that God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. And in Psalms 53:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I think these meetings we're having are so important and relevant today, because there's so many of our people here in Roseburg and throughout the U.S. and the world who have been influenced by evolutionary thought and humanism. They're not even aware of it. They're not even aware of it. And so they do not understand when we talk about Jesus our Savior. It doesn't resonate to them because they don't think of, well, what's that have to do with me? I evolved, and not from a God. Until we can show them that we are created beings after God's own image, then they'll understand more clearly what Christ paid on the cross for us. And so it's a very important issue for us as Christians today. I'd strongly urge you to continue to support the Booster meetings tonight and the next couple of nights. But more importantly, being able to talk to your friends and neighbors in an intelligent way concerning the deep issues involved here is very important. At this time, I would invite our praise team to come back up to lead us in our closing song. And after that, we'll have prayer. That's hymn number 93 in your hymnal, All Things Bright and Beautiful.